Hello, and welcome to The Neighbor Next Door, a podcast about the power and importance of neighboring. I'm your host, Matthew Johnson, and as usual, I am joined on the virtual front porch by my colleague in neighboring, Adam Barlow-Thompson.
Hey, good neighbors. Welcome to the front porch. This is our first recording in 2021, and so farewell 2020.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, and here we are, and we're excited because we are starting the year by adjusting our staffing a little bit at the Neighboring Movement, and we've brought on a new person who is here, and we're ready to introduce. And so welcome to the virtual front porch, Claire Gallegos.
Hi, guys. So nice. So happy to see you all on the virtual front porch.
Claire told us today that it's like one of her lifelong goals to be on podcast, and so we're just fulfilling that on day one of her. This is the first day at work for Claire. And we're like, guess what? Now you have to be on a podcast. So
it's my dream job.
That's right. We're going to play that recording back to you in a couple months and see if that's still true. We're excited to have Claire here to introduce her and share a little bit about her experience in life and a little bit about what she'll be doing with the Neighboring Movement. So, Matt, do you want to lead us off with some questions?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think I love to give people some space to remember like neighboring from their childhood. I think that's always an interesting snapshot into like what it was like. So I was wondering, you know, for you, like memories that you have of a favorite neighbor or a scary neighbor? I mean, it doesn't have to be all good. Like, what was neighboring like? What was your experience of neighboring like when you were growing up?
Yeah, I think you've kind of put me here at a little bit of a disadvantage because I actually have a terrible memory, but we're going to, but I have some good memories of neighboring, fortunately. So when I grew up, we grew up on in a suburb in Wichita, so West Wichita. And we were very fortunate that we had a lot of kids that were my age, right on our street. So on our cul-de-sac, we had quite a few kids. And so I remember a lot of times going out and playing with them until late at night, you know, till the sun went down and you had to go back inside. And I remember, so we were very lucky in that aspect. We also had a lot of elderly neighbors. And so we had this really nice contrast between really young families and then some older families that are in a different stage of life. I remember having neighbors that weren't so friendly when the children would come tromping through their yards. But luckily I was fortunate. I had parents who were able to respect them no matter, even, you know, they had every right to be upset that children were going through their yards, but they still treated them with dignity and respect, which I think was a really good lesson for me to learn, even at the age of, I don't know, probably 5 or 6. And so it was a really nice contrast. And the neighborhood was really close. We would host block parties. We would do that, those kind of things. So things that you don't really see anymore were still happening around that time when I was growing up. So I was very fortunate.
Yeah.
And then did you live in that same place for most of your childhood and youth?
Yeah, so we moved there when I think I was 3, and my parents moved in the last year. So for basically my entire life, they lived there. So yeah. Until I went away to college, I lived there.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. That's great. So okay, so that's kind of like childhood and youth, pretty good experiences there. And then, so you go away to college. Where'd you go to school?
Wichita State University.
Wichita State, right here in Wichita.
Yes.
And, spend some time doing college life. And then when did you graduate college?
Actually in May.
In May. So what,
May 2020.
6 months ago? I can't really
six months ago.
8 years ago.
8 years ago.
Feels like it.
And you've since then been married. You got married. Yes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And now you are venturing out into kind of this new like professional life, young married couple, just purchased a home here in Wichita. And so what's it been like as the new neighbor on the block?
Yeah, it's been really good. We have been really fortunate. We're in a really nice little neighborhood. A lot of retirees, which I absolutely love because they're the best neighbors ever. They're very quiet. They're clean. And so I'm a big fan of that. And I actually listened to your guys' podcast, the most recent episode that you put out with, I think, Anna.
Uh-huh. Anna Almendrala. If you haven't listened to that, listeners, you need to go back. It was released, I think, the week of New Year's. And so you can check it out. It's Anna's story about dealing with actually some racism in her neighborhood. And so, that's the reference there.
Yeah. And so I was really reflecting on that episode, and she talked about how she had an encounter with a neighbor, that the neighbor was letting her dog poop all over her yard. And she just came out screaming at this neighbor. And basically she talked about how she ruined that relationship with that neighbor. And so I've just kind of been reflecting on that. And at our, where we previously lived in Lawrence, and we just had truly not the most awesome neighbors in the world. we lived in a town home, so we shared some walls, and the neighbors that we had on one of our sides were, it was a young girl and her mom, probably in her late teens. And the girl would just constantly scream at the mom, and it was at all hours of the day. And she would wake us up screaming. And so then I'd walk out in the morning, I'd see the girl there, and I just wouldn't want to be friendly because she kept me up until 4 a.m. And so I've just been really reflecting on that after listening to Anna, and just how it's really easy to be a good neighbor when you have those elderly people that keep their home clean, but it's not easy to be a neighbor to those people that are screaming at all hours of the night. But for me, I just feel really called to be a good neighbor to those, to the people that aren't necessarily easy to be good neighbors to, just because that's who we're called to be a good neighbor to, because it's easy to do it when it's easy, but when it's hard, that's when I think you really grow.
Cool. And those relationships often are end up when we are able to like persevere and do them well and do them healthily with boundaries, then they often become the most transformational, that we, you know, which is always an interesting but difficult thing to tackle. So
yeah, and I'm struck by your comment that it's when we're good neighbors to the folks that it's not easy to be good neighbors with, that's when we really grow.
Mm-hmm. So you're in Wichita now, set up, and you decided to come work at the neighboring movement. So give us a little bit of like backstory. Like, how did you find the job? Why did you decide to apply? What was that like?
Yeah, so it's kind of really a crazy little thing. So I worked in politics since 2016. So I started in the 2016 election, which is kind of a crazy one to get started in. And it was very interesting, very fun. I actually started with some regional Senate candidates. And so that's how I got involved. I did finance, fundraising, that kind of stuff. And so from there, I went and worked on a few different national races, local races, state races, all different sorts of things. So in 2016, though, the first race I ever worked on was then Senator Lynn Rogers' race. And so it was his first time ever running. And
which we should say, this is our state senator. He was the state senator for the neighborhood that we live in, actually. So
yeah, he's amazing. His wife, Chris, is amazing. I love their whole family. They're truly just extraordinary people. And so I kept in touch with Lynn and Chris. And so in 2020, in my past life, I wanted to be a lawyer. That's not happening anymore. And so about in, I think, October-ish, right after getting married, it was a crazy few months, right after the election, I decided to make a career change, just because I had been spending a lot of time, kind of what I like to describe as this macro level of political change. And I just was finding that it wasn't working as well as I would have hoped. So after spending 4 years doing this, and then for those of you who aren't aware, the Kansas election results, they just were kind of crushing. And it was a little difficult to remain in that.
We're crushing for everybody, but for yeah. Claire and for some of us, yeah. it was a little crushing.
Yeah. When you're working to break the supermajority and then you lose seats, it doesn't really affirm you well. So I had spent a lot of time at this, just what I call a macro perspective of government, and just found that it wasn't working. It was hard to see change. Obviously change is occurring, but it's just so slow moving. And so I just decided that I wanted to make a move into more of like the micro perspective. And so something just more inside and in the day-to-day lives of people, rather than this like grand concept of things that people have strong opinions about. I just wanted to come and kind of just know people better and work with individuals more than government entities and those kind of things. And so my good friend Chris that I mentioned earlier, so Lynn Rogers became our lieutenant governor. And then so Chris has her nose in everything, which is what I love about her. And we had a 5-hour long coffee date one day, and she was mentioning to me the good work that everybody at the neighboring movement is doing. Mm-hmm. And she mentioned that there was a position open. And so when I looked at the description, I actually sent it to my mom, and my mom started crying because she was like, this is just so you. And so then I applied, and they were crazy enough to hire me. So,
well, first of all, sincere apologies to Claire's mom for making her cry. not our intent, but also super glad that it worked out. So, yeah. And then it was pretty crazy because Claire applied, and I think maybe the next day, I called her and said, hey, can you interview in like 30 minutes? Because our team like just had this opening and like in our schedule for that time. And she was so flexible and generous to say, sure, I'll get on a Zoom call with you all and interview. So we did the interview. And then by the end of the day, we had offered her the job. And so it was a pretty whirlwind of apply, interview, and then secure the job. And we knew that if Claire could handle that kind of frantic pace and, you know, kind of craziness, that she'd be a great fit here at the neighboring movement.
You know, it's funny because my husband, so he's in very like corporate America, and he just does not understand at all, really, my jobs ever, any job I've ever had. And so he was like, I'm sorry, they called you and offered you the job within 2 hours of the interview? And he's just like, what are you doing? I don't think he thinks it's a real organization yet, but we're working on him.
I mean, that's fair.
The jury is out, I think.
Okay, so we want to, before we let you go, talk a little bit about what you're going to be doing here, because we will probably have you come back on to the podcast over the next year and share a little more about what you're up to. So Claire is going to be leading the Kansas Animator Network, which is a statewide learning network where we have people in small towns and rural communities across the state who are learning about asset-based community development, and then also using those skills in their local communities. And so Claire will be working with our alumni of that program, and then also recruiting a new cohort who will be meeting and doing some work there. So what are you most excited about for this year as you begin those tasks?
Yeah, I think one, just joining this organization, which is so, I think, fluid and just so different from other projects that I've worked on, I'm really excited for. And I think also just rural organizing is just something I'm really interested in, because it's often left behind in politics because it's like, oh, you can never win that district, you know, good luck. And so I think it's just something that is so often left behind. But if you actually talk to the people in rural areas, you're like, they're like, no, like cool things are happening here. We just, mm-hmm. we need support. And so I'm just excited to provide them that support and just hopefully make some positive change.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah. That's so cool. Mm. And it's that micro level, right? I mean, it is, it's getting in into those communities and onto that level. That's, I really appreciate your description of that move. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, friends. Well, thank you for joining us again for this episode of The Neighbor Next Door. If you want to learn more about our work, you can visit our website at neighboringmovement.org. And if you have thoughts or interests or any comments about this podcast, please be in touch with me. You can email me, matt@neighboringmovement.org. Until next time, happy neighboring.
Happy neighboring.
Happy neighboring.